Welcome to Coatesville Connection, bringing you interesting interviews and homilies from clerical and religious leaders in the city of Coatesville. Each month, Holy Spirit Radio highlights a unique aspect of the city and its people of faith. And now, here is your host, Barbara Schenkel.
Good morning and welcome to Coatesville Connection. This month, we are greeted by Father Peter Welsh from St. Joseph's Parish in Coatesville. Welcome, Father. Good morning. And what are we speaking about today? I think it's the Sacrament of Reconciliation as we continue our series through the Catechism on the Sacraments of the Church. Is that correct?
That's correct. We're using the Catechism for the United States, Chapter 18, and the title is the Sacrament of Penance and Reconciliation. God is rich in mercy. And the corresponding numbers in the Catechism of the Catholic Church would be 1420 to 1498.
Father, that's a great topic, as we just heard that Pope Francis is announcing a year of great mercy starting next fall. So what a great topic for us to delve into.
The message of divine mercy we have in our time, and what I was kind of looking at today was the treatment here in the United States Catechism, but also the message of mercy and really the openness that we might have to the sacrament of reconciliation, this great gift of the Lord's mercy. This particular chapter begins that of St. Augustine, who was born in 354 in Northern Africa, mother, a very devout Catholic, Monica, his father, very prominent. And as he was growing up, he kind of ran away from the thought of being baptized, coming into the Catholic faith. And we know the prayers of his mother, and the influence of St. Ambrose, who would eventually receive him into the church in the year 387, his conversion. Augustine knew the damaging effects of sin, but he also experienced the greater power of grace of God, enabling us to overcome sin and accept the gospel of his Son. St. Augustine knew God's mercy and forgiveness of sins gained for us by Jesus Christ. Today, Catholics encounter this same mercy and forgiveness in the sacrament of penance. So we call this great saint the doctor of grace, and it is really the grace of God that guides us and leads us and calls us to this new life in Christ and to receive the forgiveness, as you mentioned, the mercy of God in a very special way. The United States Catholic Catechism for Adults begins with a quote from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 1421, and then the following introduction. The Lord Jesus Christ, physician of our souls and our bodies, has willed that his church continue in the power of the Holy Spirit his work of healing and salvation. So we are celebrating this great gift of a sacrament that is a sacrament of healing. It's a gift of Jesus, and it's a gift that is entrusted to the church, and a gift in which he himself is the agent of the grace ministering to us. The United States Catechism. Because of human weakness, the new life in Christ, which we receive in the sacraments of initiation, is often threatened by sin. Moreover, we face sickness and death. God constantly reaches out to reconcile us, ourselves to him. Through the gift of the church, Jesus, our divine physician, has given us the sacraments of healing, penance and reconciliation, and the anointing of the sick, for the forgiveness of sin and the ministry of the sick, to the sick and the dying. Sins committed after baptism are forgiven in the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, also called the Sacrament of Forgiveness, Confession, and Conversion. We will refer to the sacrament both as penance and as reconciliation, using the terms interchangeably. Divine mercy and conversion from sin are constant themes in Scripture. God's mercy makes possible the repentance of the sinner and the forgiveness of sin. Time and again, in the Old Testament, the sins of the people are met with God's outreach of mercy and the invitation to be healed and return to a covenant relationship. Even when the beloved King David lied to his adultery and caused the death of an innocent man, he was not beyond God's mercy, to which he had a humble recourse. Psalm 51 gives us words to express the kind of contrition and to trust in God's forgiveness that David felt after committing these sins. A few passages of this psalm that the church places, yes, in a very special way during the Lenten season, but in the Liturgy of the Hours, every Friday, the first psalm is that of Psalm 51. Just a few of the Have mercy on me, O God, in your kindness and your compassion, blot out my offense. O wash me more and more from my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin. My offenses, truly I know them. My sin is always before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned. What is evil in your sight I have done. O purify me, then I shall be clean. O wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. That the bones you have crushed may revive. From my sin, turn away your face and blot out all my guilt. A pure heart create from you, God, and put a steadfast spirit within me. The Gospels provide numerous examples of Christ's mission to forgive sins. When a paralytic was lowered through the roof of a house and placed his feet, Christ first forgave the man's sins and then cured his affliction. When a sinful woman knelt at his feet in the house of Simon the Pharisee, Jesus forgave the sin because he had loved much. Unlike the Pharisee, who had little insight into his own sinfulness, Christ's parable of the prodigal son illustrates the sublime meaning of his earthly ministry, which is to forgive sins, reconcile people to God, and lead us to true happiness. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead to reconcile sinful people with God, with forgiveness of sins, and the gift of new life, the triune God. Even on the cross, he forgave those who were killing him and had mercy on the repentant thief. The scriptural basis for the sacrament of reconciliation is found in John chapter 20, verses 21 to 23. The United States Catechism takes us to the upper room and then begins to explain the importance of this sacrament, which reconciles us to God and to the church. On Easter night, the risen Christ imparted to his apostles his own power to forgive sins. He breathed on them, imparting promise, Holy Spirit, and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus was actually filling them with peace, which is rooted in friendship with God. But he did more. He shared with them his own merciful mission. He breathed on them a second time and said, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Receive the Holy Spirit. The sins you forgive are forgiven them. The sins you retain are retained. That night, Christ Jesus gave the church the ministry of the forgiveness of sins through the apostles. By the sacrament of holy orders, bishops and priests continue this ministry to forgive sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In this sacrament, the priest acts in the person of Christ, the head of the church, to reconcile the sinner both to God and the church. When he celebrates the sacrament of penance, the priest is fulfilling the ministry of the good shepherd who seeks the lost sheep. The priest is the sign and instrument of God's merciful love for the sinner. Jesus entrusted the ministry of reconciliation to the church. The sacrament of penance is God's gift to us, so that any sin committed after baptism can be forgiven. In confession, we have the opportunity to repent and recover the grace of friendship with God. It is a holy moment in which we place ourselves in his presence and honestly acknowledge our sins, especially mortal sin. With absolution, we are reconciled to God and the church. The sacrament helps us to stay close to the truth that we cannot live without God. In him we live and move and have our being. While all the sacraments bring us an experience of the mercy that comes from Christ dying and rising, it is the sacrament of reconciliation that is the unique sacrament of mercy. The sacrament of penance must be seen within the context of conversion from sin and return to God. Peter wept bitterly over his triple denial of Christ, but received the grace of conversion and expressed it with a triple, threefold confession of love for Jesus. Paul was converted from persecuting Christians to become one of the greatest disciples of Christ who ever lived. These moments of conversion were only the beginning of their lifelong commitment to living in fidelity to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sin harms our relationship with God and damages our communion with the church. Conversion of heart is the beginning of our journey back to God. The liturgically, this happens in the sacrament of penance. In the history of the Church, this sacrament has been celebrated in different ways. Beneath the changes, there have always been two essential, the acts of the penitent and the acts of Christ through the ministry of the Church. Both go hand in hand. Conversion must involve a change of heart as well as a change of action. Neither is possible without God's grace. In a simple review of the celebrate the sacrament received individually in the sacrament of penance, the elements are the following: a greeting and blessing from the priest, a possible reading from Scripture, confession of sins, the giving and accepting of a penance, an act of contrition, the priest absolution, proclamation of praise of God, and a dismissal. Now there will be a description of these acts of the penitent and then the acts of the priest. Contrition. In order to be forgiven, we need to have sorrow for our sins. This means turning away from evil and turning to God. It includes the determination to avoid such sins in the future. Such sins may either be mortal or venial. Sins are rightly evaluated according to their gravity. The distinction between mortal and venial sin, already evident in Scripture, became part of the tradition of the Church. It is corroborated by human experience. Mortal sin destroys charity in the heart of man by a grave violation of God's law. It turns man away from God, who is his ultimate end and beatitude, by preferring an inferior good to God. Venial sin, allowing charity to subsist, even though it offends and wounds it. Contrition that arises from the love of God above all else is called perfect contrition. This loving sorrow remits venial sins and even mortal sins so long as we resolve to confess them as soon as possible. When other motives, such as the ugliness of sin or fear of damnation, bring us to confession, this is called imperfect contrition, which is sufficient for forgiveness in this sacrament. The Holy Spirit moves us in either case and initiates conversion. So the work of the Holy Spirit to make us aware of our sinfulness, to shed the light, and guiding us, hopefully, to this Spirit sacrament of reconciliation. We come to the part referred to as confession. Confession liberates us from sins that trouble our heart and makes it possible to be reconciled to God and others. We are asked to look into our souls and with an honest and unblinking gaze identify our sins. This opens our minds and hearts to God, moves us towards communion with the Church, and offers us a new future. In confession, by naming our sins before the priest, who represents Christ, we face our failings more honestly and accept responsibility for our sins. It is also in confession that a priest and penitent can work together to find the direction needed for the penitent to grow spiritually and to avoid sin in the future. So the sense of the sacrament helping to guide us and illuminate us in the path of walking. What is the goal of all of us by our baptism? To come to that perfection of charity, to come walk the path of holiness. When we have examined our consciences and have taken responsibility for our sins, we then confess them to a priest. We must confess all mortal sins in kind and number. The Church strongly recommends confessing venial sins, though it is not strictly necessary. So that would be the role of penitent. We come with contrition, and we examine our conscience, and we confess our sins. Now, it kind of shifts to the role of the priest, who imparts the absolution and asks for signs of penance. After we confess our sins to the priest, we are given some encouragement from the priest for our moral and spiritual growth. The priest then gives us a penance and asks us to say an act of contrition. Then the priest grants absolution. That is, He sets us free from our sins using the power that Christ entrusted to the church and by which he pardons the sins of the penitent. In our Latin church, the priest representing Christ and bringing us his forgiveness absolves us from the sins with the words, these are the words of absolution. God the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of his Son, has reconciled the world to himself and sent the Holy Spirit among us for the forgiveness of sins. Through the ministry of the church, may God give you pardon and peace and absolve you from your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Prayer, Trinitarian prayer, that's the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the gifts of pardon and peace. That's what's communicated to us, forgiveness of our sins and the peace within our hearts. And the Catechism also points out the little reference there to the seal of confession. Just again explaining what that is. The Church declares that every priest who hears confessions is bound under very severe penalties to keep absolute secrecy regarding the sins that his penitents have confessed to him. He can make no use of knowledge that confession gives him about the penitent's lives. This secret, which admits of no exceptions, is called the sacramental seal, because what the penitent has made known to the priest remains sealed by the sacrament. And the reference from the Catechism of the Catholic Church is 1467 for that. Now we have the, what's referred to as satisfaction. Absolution takes away sin, but does not remedy all the disorders sin has caused. It is obvious that we need to repair certain damages that our sins have caused, such as restoring the reputation of someone we have injured, returning money that we have stolen, or rectifying an injustice. Sin also weakens the relationship we have with God and others. Our inner life is harmed by sin and needs restoration. This is the reason for acts of penance and satisfaction for sin. The penance given by the priest helps us to begin making satisfaction for our sin. Just as when we get physically out of shape, we need to take up some exercise, so also when the soul is morally out of shape, there is the challenge to adopt spiritual exercises that will restore it. Obviously, this is always done in cooperation with God's graces, which are essential for the healing. Absolution takes away sin, but it does not remedy all the disorders that sin has caused. Raised up from sin, the sinner must still recover his full spiritual health by doing something more to make amends for sin. He must make satisfaction for or expiate his sin. And this satisfaction is called penance. Now the effects of the sacrament, we receive this great gift, the Catechism of the United States. The sacrament of penance reconciles us with God. The whole power of the sacrament of penance consists in restoring us to God's grace and joining us with him in an intimate friendship. So first, that we are once again reunited with God, restored to his graces. This sacrament also reconciles us with the church. Sin should never be understood as a private or personal matter, because it harms our relationship with others and may even break our loving communion with the church. The sacrament of penance repairs this break and has a renewing effect on the vitality of the church itself. In this sacrament, the penitent receives the merciful judgment of God and is engaged on the journey of conversion that leads to future life with God. The church also recommends that a person go regularly to confession, even if only for venial sins. This is because the regular confession of our venial sins helps us to form our consciences, fight against evil tendencies, let ourselves be healed by Christ, and progress in the life of the Spirit. So the forgiveness of sins and the healing, the pardon and the peace that we receive. Let this light to see ourselves, to help form our consciences, to kind of root out the evil tendencies, and hopefully we are growing in grace. So the benefits of the sacrament, it helps us in this relationship with God and grow in charity, our love for God and others. Over to the diary of St. Faustina, and she pointed out that the sacrament of reconciliation not only obtains for us God's forgiveness, but also heals the soul of the wounds of sin. Concerning holy confession, we should derive two kinds of profit from holy confession. One, we come to confession to be healed. And secondly, we come to be educated like a small child. Our soul has constant need of education. This is number 377 of the diary. This focus on sacramental confession as a source of spiritual healing is clearly emphasized in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and this is from 1461. The Lord Jesus Christ, physician of our souls and bodies, who forgave the sins of the paralytic and restored him to bodily health, has willed that his church continue in the power of the Holy Spirit his work of healing and salvation, even among her own members. This is the purpose of the two sacraments of healing, the sacrament of penance, reconciliation, and the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. Indeed, the sacrament of reconciliation with God brings about a true spiritual resurrection, restoring the dignity and blessing of God, of the children of God, of which the most precious is friendship with God. But I'll move towards concluding this by maybe a way that might encourage us, you know, to receive the sacrament, and we often say, well, how do we prepare for this sacrament? And it might be in just looking at the ways we're encouraged to prepare ourselves that it. And also I'd like to bring in some of the words of Divine Mercy of Jesus to help us to view this sacrament for really what it is. As all the sacraments, they are to be a meeting with the Lord. It's the Lord who is principally ministering through his church. But this sacrament, as it's referred to, the sacrament of mercy, is really a meeting with Jesus. And it's Jesus who is imparting his forgiveness and peace through the sacrament. So the question here is, how can we prepare for the sacrament of penance? The reception of this sacrament ought to be prepared by an examination of conscience made in the light of the Word of God. Passages best suited for this can be found in the Ten Commandments, the Moral Catechesis of the Gospels, and the Apostolic Letters, but just the Sermon on the Mount and Apostolic Teaching. So we first of all, we invoke the Spirit, Holy Spirit, the light of the Holy Spirit to guide us. We come with sorrow in our heart, one of the little guides we have the occasions of our diocese, the reconciliation, the call to so many people to come back. A little leaflet here had before confession, be sorry for your sin. The essential act of penance on the part of the penitent is contrition, clear and decisive rejection of the sin committed, together with a resolution not to commit it again, out of the love one has for God, and which is reborn with repentance. The resolution to avoid committing any sins in the future, referred to as amendment, is a sure sign that the sorrow is genuine and authentic. The basic requirement for a good confession is to have the intention of returning to God like the prodigal son, and to acknowledge our sins with true sorrow for the priest. There are many helpful guides for examining our conscience. Of course, one here is an examination of conscience for middle and high school often do I pray? Why do I pray? Do I always pray for myself or also for others? Do I always ask or do I remember to thank God? How do I relate to conflicts that happen with others? Am I unwilling to ask for forgiveness when I am wrong? Am I hard-hearted when someone asks me for forgiveness? Do I hold on to grudges? So various helps that can give us a review and prepare that our we have the light of the Spirit to guide us what we need to bring to confession. But I think what I'd like to go with this is really that we realize that we're going to the Lord. John Paul II, for those who have been away from the sacrament for a long time, he says, I make this appeal. Come back to this source of grace. Do not be afraid. Christ himself is waiting for you. He will heal you, and you will be at peace with God. It's a meeting with Jesus. He's calling us. From the diary, 1488, my child, have confidence. Do not lose heart in coming for pardon, for I am always ready to forgive you. As often as you beg for it, you glorify my mercy. So it's the appeal of Jesus that we come to him in this great sacrament. Again, through the diary, Jesus is present for us, for all of us, no matter how great our sins. As the merciful Savior, the fount of mercy that cleanses, comforts, forgives, and restores us to life. He says in 1602 of the diary, when you go to confession to this fountain of mercy, the blood and water which came forth from my heart always flows down upon your soul. In the sacrament of reconciliation, called the Tribunal of Mercy, the greatest miracles take place and are incessantly repeated. Here the misery of the soul meets the God of mercy, encouraging us to see that he's there. He's the one we're opening our heart to. He says, come with faith to the feet of my representative, my priest. I myself am waiting there for you. I am only hidden by the priest. I myself act in your soul. Make your confession before me. The person of the priest is for me only a screen. Never analyze what sort of priest it is that I am making use of. Open your soul in confession as you would to me. I will fill it with my life. This miracle of as he says, the greatest miracles take place is the resurrection, spiritual resurrection. He says, when a soul, like a decaying corpse, so that from a human standpoint there would be no hope of restoration and everything would already be lost, it is not so with God. The miracle of divine mercy restores that soul in full. Oh, how miserable are those who do not take advantage of the miracle of God's mercy. So the appeal of Jesus that we come to him in this sacrament, and I think that's the focus that we could have for this sacrament.
So, Father, that's a great talk on reconciliation as we approach this year of great mercy. And do you have a concluding prayer?
Just a little part of the prayer of the merciful St. Faustino. O most holy Trinity, as many times as I breathe, as many times as my heart beats, as many times as my heart pulsates through my body, so many thousand times do I want to glorify your mercy. I want to be completely transformed into your mercy and to be your living reflection. O Lord, may the greatest of all divine attributes, that of your unfathomable mercy, pass through my heart and soul to my neighbor. Lord Jesus, transform me into yourself, for you can do all things.
Amen. We have been speaking with Father Peter Welsh from St. Joseph's Parish in Coatesville. He's been speaking on the sacrament of reconciliation, penance as we know it. Thank you for your time this morning, Father, and we look forward to speaking with you again next month.
Sure.